This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego. OuchMyEgo.com.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm going all right. So are you. I mean, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah. You punished me this time, didn't you?
It's not really. How is this a punishment? This is a
because this
crazy
movie, no, this movie doesn't
sci-fi
make a lick of sense.
Okay.
I mean, right. There's a plot, but I can tell you what happens in it, but it took an hour and 40 minutes film. Took me over 2 hours, I think, from rewinding and going, wait, what'd they say? Okay.
Well, it helps to watch it, even though it's in English, it helps to watch with subtitles on.
I did watch it with subtitles on.
Oh!
And I still had to go back because, well, let's, before I continue.
Well, what did we just watch?
We watched Immortal.
Central Park, intrusion zone, risk of death.
I know you're there.
That's why I'm interested in her.
You're Horus from Heracnopolis, the god of the heavens.
I'm flattered, Nicopola, wretched human. For 2 of your days now, I have been looking for a host body for reasons that go far beyond any human concerns.
You're the greatest mystery of nature I've ever come across. Some of the vertebrate animals on this planet shed their skin. You are going through the same process.
Young women like her are rare, extremely rare. There are only a few of them in the entire universe. They don't even know who they are themselves or the power they have. You're going to need someone to take you home.
What power?
The greatest power of all. The power to procreate with gods.
Immortal ad vitans.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Yes. It's very French, and even though, as you said, it's in English, it is very obviously written by someone who does not speak English at all.
Yeah. Well, okay. This was one of the first digital backlot movies.
Yeah. Sky Captain and all that.
Sky Captain and Kasern the Robot Fighter is Japanese. I really enjoy that one.
Yeah, me too. And Sky Captain.
But it's actually, it's a bit long of the tooth, but it's pretty great. Those are the first two, or is it?
Well,
I mean, they came out at the same time, 2004, and then Sin City was the major American one that came out in 2005. This one, not as slick as the others.
No.
Special effects-wise.
Well, actually, I'll say this. The world that they created looks really good. I really like the Art Deco style. I like layered the existence in this world is.
It's sort of a film noir kind of thing. If you think Sky Captain was doing the 30s, this was doing the 40s.
Yeah. And out of anything I can say about this film, I think all the digital backgrounds, all that stuff looks amazing. Of all those films, I think this one achieves the world that they wanted to create on the digital backlot more successfully.
Can you try to boil down the plot that takes place in this strange world?
It's the city, we live in the city of New York, and there's this pyramid that's floating above it. The year is, I think, 2095 or something like that. A lot of this stuff is never really explained, ever. In this pyramid are aliens, or they're gods, or something, or either are the Egyptian gods, or they're based on them, or the Egyptian gods are based on them. Again, we don't know. Horus, Anubis, and Bast. Horus leaves the pyramid because he is dying, and he is seeking a host body to inhabit so he can impregnate a certain woman so he can continue his immortality by feasting off of, I guess, being connected to this child that'll be born. And then there's other stuff that happens that really have no consequence on the plot because really nothing in this film matters. There are no stakes in this film.
What? There are no stakes?
No, because Horus is, when he pairs up with this guy,
Nicopol. So there's this guy, Nicopol, who was imprisoned a long time ago, like about 30 years ago, according to the movie.
Yeah, 30 years.
And he was imprisoned in a cryostasis. What this movie does great, I think, is set up a real kind of world with real politics. And I was thinking about this, how is this science fiction? It seems more fantasy. But science fiction tends to pose questions. Ethics, politics,
humanism
questions. And so does this movie. Nicopol was a terrorist.
Was he?
Or so they say.
Yeah,
he was a freedom fighter.
We don't know what he's in prison for other than he has knowledge about this company that has a, let me see if I can find what they refer to it as, medical dictatorship.
Yes.
And apparently he had knowledge that could hurt them, so he was imprisoned.
Yeah, well, he was whistleblowing and he was protesting, and there's this thing called the Spirit of Nicopol. It's like these digital projections that float around the city with little wise sayings or remarks. reminders of don't get augmented, don't take that plastic surgery or elective surgery because you don't need it. Don't. It, in a way, some of that is akin to
Repo.
Movie. I noticed that too.
And that's kind of what made me think, this is a little bit of Get Back for Repo, isn't it? Because we're going to run with some of the same themes, even though nothing is ever really done with this.
Well, how this came about, how you and I came about watching this thing, was it goes farther back than just this past week.
Oh.
You went to the store and you were asking me what crazy movies you should look for, and you found a handful.
Yeah.
And this was one of them, and I was like, yeah, okay. But back when this came out, I got my hands on it. So it was around early 2005,
yeah,
just before I moved from California, and I really wanted you and Lauren to watch it, and we weren't able to, but I was bugging you guys, and I might have even burned a copy for Lauren.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure you got that, because I had Casern. I know that, but
yeah,
we never got around to seeing this, and this was something that I wanted to see.
So fast forward to now, and then now you bought it, and that's how it's been gestating for so long.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there putting in, I'm excited, and then
you were completely baffled throughout.
Yes, I actually put a couple of notes here. At 19 minutes, 23 seconds, Jill says exactly what I'm feeling.
I'm confused.
All right, you just mentioned Jill. Yes. Jill is the main character, according to the movie. Now, this whole entire thing is based on a comic called the Nicopole Trilogy, which is written, drawn, everything
by
this guy,
director, yeah,
Enki Bilal, and he is the director of this film as well. And he's done a few other movies, and they're all this strange kind of science fiction kind of world, but the other movies have sets that are physical, and this one has most sets that are not physical, and a couple of sets that are, and the couple that are actually really good standout. Those are tangible physical sets, and it enhances the movie. I think when you combine digital backlot so early on when they did, sometimes they made a few missteps.
One of the big missteps is they have a lot of digital characters, too.
Yeah, and that's the big thing in this movie. And not just that they're digital characters, because you can do decent digital characters as we see now, but it's so early on, it's 2004, that it suffers from the Scorpion King problem.
Yeah. In the case is a lot of these characters, there's no reason for them to be digital.
They're just put there in the background, a lot of them.
No, a lot of them are main characters, so we're seeing these weird digital avatars who...
Yeah, that too, and they're interacting. Like, well, the one that they did really good work on, actually, is the doctor who... Not Charlotte Rampling, who is the main doctor, but the other doctor who works for the corporation.
Yeah, the Patrick...
Charlotte Rampling is a doctor who does experiments and is trying to figure out whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like we see her doing some sort of facial work on a patient, kind of like this weird Brazil style thing going
on. I thought about that too, about Brazil.
But it's like that's the only time we see, I guess, her regular job. But we don't know what she does because she's spending all this time experimenting, quote unquote, on
and
Jill.
And Jill is basically a refugee. See, this movie has a lot of interesting things to it as far as social stuff and political things. But she's some kind of refugee and they can't figure her out. They think that she's augmented, but she's all 100% natural, except her organs on the inside of her aren't in the right spots.
Yeah, she seems like she has the body essentially of that's 3 months old.
But she's a full-grown and attractive woman. She's played by Linda Hardy. Her hair is odd. For a while, her hair is actually kind of like
scales, almost.
And it's matted to her head as opposed to actually being hair. But eventually, it just becomes scrappy blue hair.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, she just has a shaved head with the hair being blue still, like a really short, short haircut. But our man Horace, our god character Horace, as you said, is looking for her.
Yeah, because
to impregnate.
Yeah, she is a special being because she...
And there are only a handful throughout the universe.
Yeah, that are able to actually procreate with the gods.
Now, this is interesting, too, because I believe, according to the story, that they are supposed to be the gods, the Egyptian gods.
That's what of old. I assume that, too, because Horus's powers seem to be very powerful. He's able to...
Yeah, but Horus also references to your Christ. There's a line of dialogue in there in which he references Jesus Christ as a different god. I found that to be interesting. And it's just kind of a throwaway thing. But Nicopole is unfrozen.
And again, many things that we don't...
A year ahead of time, there was an accident, the cryogenic thing broke, And the dictatorship and the cops don't work together, which I find to be interesting. They just shoot at each other.
Yeah. Well, it's like, this one thing I noticed is that cop, Froby.
Yeah, Frobe. Frobe.
His character truly could be excised from the film, and it wouldn't change a single thing about the story.
Right.
Because the cops in this film don't do anything.
Well, he's investigating, and he's
investigating stuff. Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because it doesn't impact a single thing.
It only does matter for us because he gives a little context to the Dyaks, which is just very briefly mentioned, and you're like, what? Because there was an accident that happened, and part of his head was bitten by a Dyak. So what is a Dyak? Well, eventually they reveal what a Dyak is.
It's a flying hammer.
No. Not
like
that one.
Flying
they have a
shark.
They
thing.
Have a no. cloned Dyak.
They cloned that's a person.
It was a dude with a hammerhead shark head.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one.
No, that's
the
first one. Is the dude with the hammerhead shark head, and he's red skinned and all that. He's basically an assassin. He goes after Nicopol. That's his whole point. Jill has magical powers that we learn about eventually as well. She can shoot energy.
Like some sort of
pulse.
Energy beams, and she's got psychic powers.
Yeah, well, she can read thoughts. That's established earlier. But the energy pulse thing, it's like the Steven Spielberg pulse weapons in Minority Report.
She uses it to defend herself a couple of times.
Yeah, and blows off the eye of the Dyak. But eventually, the Dyak that they used to make the clone is called out of retirement. And I don't know what those guys are there for, but there was a war with them?
Yeah, and I guess there was a war, and then all of them were dead except for this one that the Senator Allgood is keeping in a, not a prison, but a location.
And that's the one that bit the eye
bit the cop,
slash head off of the cop, part of his head, who is now augmented, and he's just snooping around, and he at one point has a little bit of helpful information, I suppose.
He shows up, he's whisked away with Dr. Elma. Then it's, we're going to fight the Dyak, and then he doesn't fight the Dyak. Yeah. Like I said, if you look at all of his scenes, and if you excised him, not a single thing changes because his role does not provide exposition, really.
The only thing is the exposition about the Dyak, but that can, I guess you don't need him for that. But when they fight at the end, they fight in Central Park.
Well, yeah,
this is a thing that I also never understood. What's going on with Central Park?
It seems like Central Park has become a portal to another world, and that's where all these refugee aliens are kind of trying to sneak in from. And that's why they have that kind of electronic fence around it, so when the refugees try to sneak in, they get shocked and turn into skeletons and stuff. Because we see that when she's speaking to the enigmatic John.
Yeah,
in the-
also, what are you doing in this movie?
Saying lots of nonsense.
So there's this guy, he's got dark leather kind of bandages on his face. He's actually a really cool kind of design. And his name's John.
Yep.
And he consults with Jill a number of times.
Yeah, he's helping her transition from whatever Jill was before into a human.
Okay, that's the only bit of plot of his that I understand. And he sounds like he might be Nicopol, or he might be Horus.
I think,
but he's neither.
Yeah, he's not Horus. It seems like he might be one of these Egyptian gods, but nothing's ever stated with him. He's just kind of there, and then he dies.
He's like a puppet master sort of thing, and when he dies at the end, he's like Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of death. He just turns into rags. So Enki Bilal, I think, has done work with Jodorowsky on his comics, or if they haven't, they've been definitely published by Humanoids, the publishing house that does this strange sci-fantasy by both of these guys, and they're both very similar. I don't even know if they know what they're writing.
They didn't have anything that was in English online, but I took a look at a couple of pages from the comic, and it looks really interesting.
Yeah, it's beautiful artwork.
Even though
artwork.
I have issues with this film, I am curious to see what this comic is about, because the visuals I saw were very striking.
The artwork is akin to, but not the same, because they're two different guys, to Mobius.
Yes, very much so. Well, actually, with a little bit of John Romita Jr. A little bit.
Sure.
A little
bit. All right, okay. So, if you think about it also, it's like really thick and heavy and also too convoluted, and thus seems like it's kind of stupid. Fifth Element. Whereas Fifth Element was brightly colored and pretty and definitely informed by Mobius. This is Enki Bilal's stuff. It's all based on his stuff, so it's totally his aesthetic.
Yeah. What's funny is the little rail cars that we see, you know, where all the everything is on rail, even though they can fly.
Yeah.
It made me think of the remake of Total Recall. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, wow, did someone watch this and store that little bit away and then recycle it in a really bad remake? But a major film.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what happens all the time anyway. To mention Mobius again and Dune, you know, Jodorowsky's Dune. Everything fell apart at the 11th hour on that movie. So these people had all this great, interesting artwork and they didn't have any place to put those talents anymore until Star Wars came along, which was just right around the corner. So all those people, except for Mobius, were moved over to Star Wars and then Alien, and that's where Mobius got some work done.
Yeah.
So movies do this all the time where they start gleaning from things that previously exist, and it's not just ripping it off. It's kind of inbred, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, people take one idea, recycle it for something else, and so on and so forth. It's just one of the first things, and we start seeing these cars on, keep saying cars, but yeah, these vehicles on rails, that just struck me with like, huh, okay. But I said, the visual aesthetic was very, I keep going back to that, it's very interesting because, yeah, there's different layers of this world. Some look far more pristine than others. There's one point where Jill is just kind of walking out in the middle of the city, and you're seeing all these different pathways. And then she gets on this beam and she's walking just kind
of, I think that's her like realizing that she's got some fancy powers.
Yeah, and
manifesting.
And these shots that he's composing are fantastic. And you're getting this beautiful vista of the city as vehicles are flying and railing past. As I said, it seems like this fully realized world.
Yeah.
Just
so
nothing is ever
so
established.
Well, yeah, we're just thrown into this. Like, when we first meet her, she's getting on a transport, and then she freaks out and tries to run away because they're checking for passports and stuff.
Yeah.
And the real main character is Nikopol, and he is revived.
But that's the thing.
He's actually dying, and he loses a leg. And Horace revives him, makes a leg out of an I-beam, and has him walk around as he's puppeting him. He's like,
"Without me, you won't be able to move. And by the way, from now on, you won't be able to do much of anything without me."
"Do I have a choice?"
"I'm afraid not. Now rise and walk."
Yeah. But he doesn't want to be puppeted.
Yeah.
Horace needs his body.
The only reason why he actually accepts Horace's offer is actually in the very first place is because he can't walk with this leg that Horace fashioned.
Yeah, that's it. He's like, "Well, thanks for the leg, but I still can't walk." This is the biggest, most controversial part of the movie. And I didn't remember this, and I've seen this like four times or something. And it does, upon repeat viewing, I suppose, if you're tired, it'll never get better. But if you're interested in ideas and story stuff, it does get better upon repeat viewing. But if you're tired, it will never get better. So, the controversial bit. Horace uses Nikopol against Nikopol's will to try and impregnate again so he can further his offspring and live forever in that way, whatever.
Yeah, Horace.
But it is
Horace
not subtle in the movie
yeah.
at all.
He well
not
yeah he rapes,
at all subtle.
The
Nikopol character is like,
"What'd you make me do?
You made me commit rape."
"She consented. We gods have physical appetites, you know, which we have more than aptly demonstrated for thousands of years."
"You think everything is yours for the taking?
We'll do it your way next time, if you wish."
"Next time, do what my way?"
"Next time, we make love to her."
"No way."
"Don't you like her?"
"I'm not sharing my body anymore. Is that clear? That's the end of the line. You go your way, I'll go mine."
Nikopol, you're talking as if you had the choice. You can walk perfectly normally if I want you to. But if I don't forget this either."
They don't mince words. They don't try to tiptoe around it. They call it rape. And if there's something that I do not like, it's rape. So I found that actually to be interesting that they weren't tiptoeing around it, you know?
Well, the sadly funny thing is Horace makes the deal with Nikopol to, he's going to let Nikopol do his thing and actually have a consenting relationship. Then he takes over anyway and...
Yeah.
Doesn't
like
get.
Right when it's a tender moment, it's awful. So I'm wondering what Enki is trying to say. That gods have no regard, that these gods specifically, because they're all powerful, have no regard.
That's
the simple statement of it.
I took that away because of Horace's nonchalant, "I'm here to do this. This is my entire reason for being right now. This is why I'm here." And
yeah.
And he's just like, I don't really care about you people. Which is interesting because, yeah, it's one of the very first things Horace does when he peeks out of the pyramid is there are these two aircraft that are flying around. They see him. Horace just kills them.
Hey, look over there.
I'll zoom in on it.
Oh, what the hell? It's a naked guy with a bird's head.
Horace is a weird character in this that he's like, you are my creations, but who cares?
And you will do whatever it is that I want you to do. I will pretend to give you free will, because that's one of the things of Nicopol's, one of the things that he wants is he wants a little bit of free will. And at one point he's, you know, it's like, all right, I'll give you free will to walk around. It's like, can I at least dress myself? Yeah. Steal, I guess they probably kill, if not just steal, but kill a transient person for his clothes.
So what's your takeaway from this whole thing? It's an anti-eugenics movie, because that's who they're going against, this company about eugenics. It's got a bunch of anti-government sentiment
It is a pro-refugee movie because what they're doing is Jill is a refugee who is becoming a quote-unquote human, becoming a citizen of this world. So you have that going for
it. And she's actually being sponsored by the doctor, Emma Turner. Yeah. Also, she is a guinea pig. So, and that's actually the most disgusting scene in the movie is her eating, doing the food tests.
Yeah, and she's just wolfing down all kinds of fish and other meat.
And it's all really gross. I don't like eating scenes in movie anyway. I don't want to see that thing go into a person's mouth. I don't care if it's a fork or a piece of pizza. I just don't want to see it. Gross. Stop it. Quit when I'm watching a movie.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few things in there, but the film is just so, I don't know, what would be the right word? Full of itself that...
You think so?
Yeah. That's, well, phrase.
Now you're actually just saying the director isn't focused and he's just liking to hear his own voice, so to speak.
Especially...
Without...
Very much so, especially with John. That character says words. They are constructed into sentences. I can understand the placement, but I don't know what, like, a half of what John said in this film, because it is basically just meaningless gibberish.
You appear deep in the heart of intrusion, and that's where I took charge of you. The blue pills stop your past from emerging, and let the present invade you. Your metamorphosis is on the verge of completion.
Are you thinking then it's like the architect in the Matrix?
Very much so.
It's not as aloof sounding and haughty and smug, but it is convoluted. Like, what is he actually saying?
And again, it's not the guy's fault that English is definitely not his first language, but I think this film would have been much better if it was in French.
Probably, but it was actually shot for English.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted it to be an international movie. So I guess somehow this really difficult language, English, that we both speak, is the international language, which there are easier languages to learn and understand, but...
But yeah, I just have a feeling that there's the subtext in the language that Bilal wants to express did not translate.
That he got in front of his own feet, you're saying?
Yeah, he was very excited to do this. He used Babelfish or Google Translate and put his wonderful words.
It was 2004. It was Babelfish.
Okay, it was Babelfish. But you know what I mean. He's putting it through this filter, and whatever he's actually meaning to say got lost.
And so you think maybe Charlotte Rampling, who's the only real English speaker there, is just like rewriting it and saying her lines correctly?
Probably. I mean, in a way, this makes me really think, this is what Japanese animation must seem like to my parents when I was watching it in high school. Just people are saying words. It's in English, but I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think you're right. So yeah, this is definitely, it belongs on this list, but I think that upon repeat viewings, because you now own the thing, revisit it every so often. You don't have to revisit it all the time. You'll remember the first time you watched it, and then you'll go like, I kind of like it a little more now.
I did ask you about that, as if it did improve over multiple viewings, and you did say yes to that.
I said kinda. And the kinda literally depends on what your state of mind is when you watch it.
Yeah, because like I said, I was gung-ho when I popped this thing in, and then...
And then you just started wading through this swamp of techno-sadness,
well, like I said,
I guess.
It bothered me when I'm a relatively intelligent person. I'm not going to toot my own horn and say I'm smart, but I can catch on to things. I don't need someone spoon-feeding me every single bit of information. But there's almost no context for anything that happens in this movie. It's just things happen, and then maybe 10 minutes later, there'll be an explanation for those past 10 minutes.
Yes, you're right. An American film would definitely look at this, or an American distributor would definitely look, if this was in the 80s, look at this and go, or 70s. This needs a title crawl.
Yeah.
This needs something to set up the world. Even Star Wars, the first one, had a title crawl, and we didn't necessarily need it, but it did it just to give us a little bit more context. This movie has nothing like that.
Like, my notes have me actually going back to them where, like, when Jill gets picked up, it's like, crazy woman, because we don't have any name, is taken to this place, and then then I got eugenics written above it, and it's like, okay, you know, when we first meet Nikopol, like, is this a real person?
What?
Because
he's just,
at this point,
he's just there.
Yeah, just things kind of happen, and then it's, 10 minutes later, okay, so that's Nikopol. Why, you know, isn't, well, actually, no, I do recall later on that I had missed it, and when I rewound it, I finally noticed on his little prison clothes, he did actually have his name. But it was like,
well,
but it was never highlighted at any point where it's like, oh, okay.
The connect the dots of this movie are not done smoothly at all, and there's not enough dots to connect to make up a complete image.
I mean, there's,
and this is actually based on the first two of the trilogy. I don't know what would be done in the third one. I don't know.
Would probably have to be something to do with the child at the end of the film. I would imagine.
Which we, yeah, okay, bringing up the end of the film, there's a little baby who's blue and has a pet Horus bird.
No,
that, or something.
The baby transforms, like, just like Horus.
See, I thought that, but then that didn't make sense to me.
Well, it did. It also, because aside from Horus transforming...
Because Horus does transform and stuff, yes. Yeah. But it didn't make sense to me in the scene because maybe I blinked or something.
No, it just all of a sudden...
Then there was this bird.
Yeah, it's there's no transition between that. It's just baby. Then it's like it goes back to a shot. Nikopol.
Yeah, Nikopol gets clawed. I know that. His hand gets clawed, but then there's a bird and it doesn't show the transition between, I think.
But,
so, and then the bird goes around killing pigeons.
Yeah, and and that's what the last shot of the film is, as little bird is chewing on a pigeon, then you've got the spaceship in space. You see where Horus is being kept, and he's like chewing, you're like nom 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 nom, as little baby is feeding him, essentially.
I really don't get the Horus and Anubis stuff. I don't get that.
Well, I did. There was one thing that made me laugh really loud, was as Bast and Anubis are waiting, they're playing Monopoly.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That I just...
What's this Earth game?
It's just completely random. It never is really addressed, like, even how they get it. It's just all of a sudden, there's a shot of them, and they've got
And they have a bunch of deleted scenes of things they tried out, like Twister, Trouble, Sorry, Mystery Date.
Clue. I would have would love to see him play Clue and actually have a line of dialogue for that. That would be good.
Oh, and the Monopoly piece was weird too. It was like Darth Vader's castle. Yeah,
but that's a future Monopoly set. So of course they probably got rid of the thimble by that point.
Yeah, they probably Well, I think this is one that it will not age well because of the graphics.
Yeah,
graphics.
It looks...
Because of the character designs, the skin mapping and all that stuff of the CG characters.
The CG characters really look bad. But even taking that into account, it's like, there's...
Now, I really like the hammerheads. The hammerhead stuff was mostly practical.
Yeah, that's...
Except for, at the end, the major hammerhead character was...
Was all CG. Yeah.
CG. I think close-ups were practical.
Yeah, I was kind of confused at the first point because you see this hammerhead creature swimming through pipes, and then when it's breaking into Jill's apartment, it's all of a sudden goo.
Yeah, that was practical stuff, and that was, I think, and it was pretty cool. So these types of movies, were they like,
we have the technology,
but you can't build it well, so don't use that technology. Use the old stuff. Do practical.
Like the CG characters, background characters, weren't that bad. Like, there was a couple of times we're in this bar, and there are CG characters, but because of how it's lit and everything, they don't look as bad as, say, the Patchwork Doctor, Patchy McPatchface.
That's just the guy's head, though, on a human actor's body.
Yeah, but
so I think his was the best CG head on anybody, but I'm not saying it's good. No, I'm saying his is the best.
You're right. It is better, but it was easily something someone could have done with makeup.
Definitely.
There was no reason to do
it. None, except we have the technology to do it. Let's do it. Or the only reason to do it is to actually to innovate so that they can have this for further films. That's the only reason why. I mean, that's the reason why George Lucas did Star Wars the way that he did Star Wars. Any iteration of Star Wars. It's all innovation. So more props to that. But yeah, I guess I hope those people who made this and with all the CG stuff are better at it now.
Yeah, I would say this. Again, someone should remake this film closer to the original source material with the technology now in French. And I think it might end up being a bit much more successful.
Coherent, I think maybe the word.
Yes, that too.
So obviously you have your reservations about this, but do you recommend it ever?
I would recommend it, just visual stance alone, but I would definitely warn people that they're going in. It's the end of Matrix 2 mixed with Fifth Element. I think that might give kind of like, okay, it's interestingly visual, but it's just going to make you want to run your head into a brick wall a couple of times.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I wouldn't really want to push those two comparisons so hard, even though I mentioned both, actually, Matrix and Fifth Element, because of the action. There's not a lot of action to this. This is a sort of a mystery, mystery, but it's not very
really
action-filled.
Yeah. There's stuff in here that's interesting. It's just...
And there are exciting moments, but it's not Mila Jovovich jumping around in a strappy outfit kicking people.
Yeah, as it, it's a beautiful looking movie, and that's what I respect it a lot, because I think it looks really nice. Again, all the weird CG, taking that to account. Even for the time, I think it definitely, if I had seen it at that time, I think I would have liked it visually even more, because it would be more, okay, we haven't really seen this before, even with Fifth Element.
Yeah, well, John, I think next time we're going to go back to watching schlock that you're really comfortable with. So I'll pick something, and it'll be good and schlocky, and you'll be a lot more comfortable with it.
I'll be very happy to sit down in the basement of Drek.
Yeah, so thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. I don't really care about you people.